One of the orders Baba had given them was, when I call you, come at once. And another was that when you sit, don't sit on the floor. Don't sit on the bare floor. Have something always on it before you sit. But these two orders are immediately, see? So the Baba had called them all, and they all rushed immediately, but they didn't have the time, I didn't think, of taking something along to put on the floor before seating themselves. They all sat on the floor. Baba didn't say a word then. But next morning when they went to the blackboard, Baba's written on it, I regret to inform. Very official. I regret to inform my Mandali that every one of you has broken my order. Every one of you has broken my order of not, in effect what I've just said, of not sitting on the bare floor but having always some covering on which to sit. And so when I read that also in the book, and I realized that yes, it doesn't matter if it's small or if it's big. Who is big? The one who's giving the orders. You're only concerned with it, no matter what the orders. Supposing you want to be very simple, simply dressed, you're that type, and Baba tells you to put on a rich robe and go around, no matter if the others are going in rags, you got to do it. And those are not easy orders. One of the most difficult orders of Baba's is when he tells you to obey somebody else. You have no idea. And that is as direct, absolutely, this is Baba. If Baba says, do what she says, well then, or he says, then you don't even take it back to Baba. My first experience of that was a doctor in Nasik, because I first joined Baba for good, straight from school to Baba as a teenager, not quite 14. And my first order was, Baba sent me to a doctor. You see, he wanted me to go through many of the things that I had to go through without telling me, you do this or you do that. One of my most, one of my biggest attachments was good food. I was finicky, fussy about food, not about clothes. But, and I knew that there would, I loved meat, I loved fish, and I knew all this would stop when I went to Baba. My mother would taunt me and say, ha, so you want to go to Merrick? Every now and then you say you're going to Merrick. So what are you going to do? When I cook one meat dish and along with it, the traditional second dish of meat is not there, you push the food away and say you're not hungry. So what are you going to do with Merrick? Merrick was that enduring Irani name for marijuana. So I ship it, it's all right. I love dal and rice. They have dal and rice. Merrick has, and we all have. We love dal and rice. So now Baba sends me. Now, I must tell you one thing though. Dal and rice is not, dal is not used just for the dish called dal and rice on which you pour it on the dal. Dal, for many of the vegetarians in India, the Gujaratis and the Brahmins and the Hindus and the such a big portion of India that's absolutely totally vegetarian, they use this dal in concocting all kinds of dishes and delicacies and foods, whether it is sweet or salty or spicy. You'll see in all the sweets that are made in the bazaar, that's made of the chana dal, which is a gram chickpea flour. Chickpea flour is used in so many things. So anyway, I loved all those things. I loved dal and I loved those chickpea things. Baba loved bhajyas, which we call pakoras. It was a family thing. We all love bhajyas, we all love the chickpea flour concoctions. Now Baba says, go to a doctor. And he says, do whatever the doctor tells you. You obey him, you listen to him. I said, fine. Now this is my very beginning of my real training, not just visiting for all my holidays twice a year, getting so much love from Baba, getting cuddled and played with, and this was serious. So now this is my first thing. So I go, I hate spinach, by the way. One of the things is hate. My mother would make spinach and sauteed with garlic and just the right amount of butter and all, and I'd always push it away. Now see what happens here. I've joined Baba, I've left home. I go to the doctor, and that doctor, he says, I must not have any kind of doll. Stop doll entirely. That was in my diet. I must have boiled spinach. Soupy boiled spinach. I must have castor oil every week. And I thought, I've said goodbye to castor oil at home. All children in those days, Indian children, had castor oil, say, twice a month at least. So I thought, I knew that nobody was taking castor oil here with Baba, and I said, at least that's good. So all these things were there. Now, although the Ashramites were all vegetarians for years and years, at that time, even eggs were not allowed, all those years. So Naja, who had to make palatable food for everyone and yet be economical and this and that, used to make omelets out of that chickpea flour, which tastes pretty close to the eggs, you know, it's really quite nice. So, because it breaks off like that, and it's got a flavor that's very nice. So, I mean, you put in onions and parsley, I mean, kothmir, which is equivalent to your parsley, and onions and chilies and salt and all kinds of little things, tomatoes, and you make an omelette. So they continued to have chickpea flour omelette, but for money, Naja had to make wheat flour omelette. And I tell you, it's a world of difference. It's the stickiest, pulliest. So what I would do, but I was young. I was hungry. I found I was always hungry there. So, but you could not eat anything in between time. It was mealtime. You know, 15 minutes before mealtime at least, I was standing out there, outside the kitchen, saying, is Naja making my omelette? Is Naja making my omelette? So when the omelette would be ready, I'd roll it around, hold it between my teeth, and pull with all my force just to... And even Mara, years later, said, we felt so sorry for you, Mani, sitting, because there were no chairs and furniture then. We had our little rug, sitting on the veranda on my little rug, with this huge pot of boiled spinach before me. I mean, how could you eat it with a spoon? It was a lot of spinach and water, even a ladle, and that wouldn't fit my... So, I mean, here, dipping my hand into that thing, pulling out this weeds of spinach, boiled, and putting them in. She said, you know, we felt so sorry, we didn't look at you. We couldn't look at you. That helped, you know. They didn't look at my thing. Then, now see how Baba works. Quite soon, I think over two years this went on. And then one day, I hope I'm right. Anyway, it seemed a long time. Well, I would say from 1 to 2 years. Well, what happened was that Baba one day was serving dal and rice. He had been to the West. I think after that he went to the West, and when he came back, that's it. So he was ladling out dal and rice to each. Plain dal and rice is so delicious, particularly the kind that the way Naja would cook it. I still remember Noreena would loved it also, like Rano and everybody loved it. Noreena would eat the plain dal and rice and say, but darling, she would say, this is a bouquet, a bouquet. You know, that phrase, that dal. So anyway, Baba was serving out that bouquet to us one day, and I was hesitant. I was doing this, and Baba said, why not? You can't eat dal and rice? I said, no. Why not? I said, well, I'm ordered not to. When? I said, the doctor. Doctor? Which doctor? I said, the doctor you sent me to do what he tells me to do. He says not to eat dal. That doctor, he's a barber. He knows nothing. Here, have this dal and rice. And to me, that day, the dal and rice, which was going to be a substitute for the meat pulao and all those dishes that I loved at home, this, on its own, in its own right, I mean, I loved it and I was enjoying dal and rice. To me, it was better than pulao, better than anything. And I was not enjoying it as a substitute, but in its own right. And from then on, I had the freedom of the dal and rice. So one didn't look back. You never look back with Baba.